This is CliffCentral.com.
This transformation platform is brought to you by Cell C Business. Get the best in-building coverage with Wi-Fi calling only with Cell C. The power is in your hands.
Doing business in the current economic climate can be made tougher by your telecommunications bill. At Cell C Business, we don't only offer a range of voice and data contracts that'll make sense to any CFO. We also offer innovations like contract buyout, exclusive to Cell C Business, which means we'll pay your business up to 20,000 Rand per line when you move to us. So visit cellc.co.za/business and switch to Cell C for great value. Cell C, the power is in your hands. T's and C's apply.
Welcome to Transformation Platform, and it's Adrian Groenewald here with me, Richard Angus and Louis Groenewald. And all transformation issues, global, local, technology, but this specific feature is transformation, technology transformation, and the impact on leaders, impact on leadership, the impact on education, on corporate. So that's what this specific feature is, once a month, sponsored by Cell C. In the studio today, interesting, I'm still getting my head around it, but Alvero Mpofu is going to help us. He's a strategic planning and risk management specialist at Technology Innovation Agency. We want to find out what they're about, and referred to us by Dr. Huisen, who was on the show a few weeks ago, who's going to kind of assist us to make sense of technology transformation. Alvero, welcome.
Yeah, good afternoon, Adrian. How are you?
I'm good. Did I introduce you correctly?
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
What is a strategic planning and risk management specialist?
It's part of these new terms that are being used in government circles. It's basically someone who is responsible for aligning the camp or the agency's strategic plan to, you know, national policies like the National Development Plan, IPAB, the New Growth Path. If any time the president has issued a State of the Nation address, he outlined a government 9-point plan. It's just to make sure that the agency is operating within this framework. And I think the one that actually underpins all of the work that government does is the medium-term strategic framework for 2014 to 2019. And just making sure that our activities are aligned and that we're not reinventing the wheel.
And what is Technology Innovation Agency?
Okay. We are a Schedule 3A public entity. We mainly focus on funding or rather progressing ideas from research, from garage innovators, from the young people, from academia, and we literally progress those ideas through either grant funding or through access to technology infrastructure such that those ideas are able to, you know, get to the market and that people can be able to buy these products and services.
So what role does technology play there?
Okay, so the role that technology plays is that that's what underpins everything, because literally we are supporting people who are developing new capabilities in the country. So you're looking at people who have got an invention that can literally transform people's lives, and this is basically what we fund. And we've got numerous examples of innovators who've come up with very exciting technologies that can be supported in the market.
Do you even look at apps, like, you know, very strategic apps that people come to you with, or are we looking at more traditional businesses, in fact?
Well, we do look at apps. I think the most important thing to just note is you're looking for, does the app have critical mass? Because that's really the scalability. And remember, we need to prove return on investment to our shareholder, which is the Department of Science and Technology. So as much as we've got a focus on traditional business, we do look for disruptive technologies because that's where the world is going at the moment.
Okay, a line that caught my eye in your document that I read through is, a new innovation-driven mindset on skills development in South Africa is needed due to the flagging pace of economic growth over the last 5 years.
100%.
Okay, so we need an innovation-driven mindset when the economy is growing, and maybe, you know, innovation and technology is the way that we can leapfrog as a emerging economy, emerging continent. Just explain that statement a little bit more.
Okay. So as you know, that technology is rapidly redefining the workplace. Traditional competitive capitalist thinking is shifting towards a new economic structure. As you know, right now we've got the sharing economy. I was just on my way here looking at the Forbes top list of innovations that are really disrupting how market structures actually work. And I was surprised Google has got a new one where you can share a car with somebody. This is absolutely amazing. Like, literally you got an app and you go there and you scan the car and you drive it away. And what this means, yeah, I know, he's looking at me.
Okay. I want to check how those work.
Yeah, so they've partnered up with this new platform that they've created.
This sounds even more aggressive than Uber. Just park the car, scan, and walk away, and somebody else must scan and take it.
I know. Hashtag not in South Africa. So you're looking at technologies that can really come in and transform how, you know, the economy is structured. Because if you look at it right now, if you read what McKinsey said in their report last year, that, you know, South Africa is really reeling under, you know, this resource strain that we have, that we keep on focusing on resource-based economy. So we're basing our growth on mining activities really taking us forward. We're looking at manufacturing, which is in some form of decline at the moment because we're not as competitive as China. So we're saying, how does a new approach to looking at these core sectors, how does that begin to unlock value for the country? Because we always do the same thing, which is take the resources out of the ground, send them away, and buy them back as machinery. And now what we're trying to say is, why aren't we looking within domestically? Why aren't we looking at our needs and challenges as South Africans and see how we can use these resources better to serve us in our economic context?
Why aren't we?
Why aren't we? I think it's mainly because it shows you, firstly, the depth of how the market structure is, you know, geared towards one particular
industrial
aspect.
Age.
That's what it is. It's not structured to really support any form of new economic sectors breaking through. We're still, you know, tying up ourselves to the same thing over and over. And the other thing is because we haven't looked at these things in a more critical manner. So we're still doing the same thing, hoping for a different result consistently.
And we know it doesn't happen that way, does it?
No, it doesn't.
What must happen at school level for us to start adopting this mindset?
And this mindset is mainly, when we say an innovation-driven mindset, we're mainly looking at, you know, everybody says South Africa must be innovative. And we looked at that critically. We looked at what does innovation mean. We looked at what does technology mean. And, you know, the fascinating thing is this, that we discovered that for innovation to occur, it's not really about coming up with a new technology or a new app. It's about the thinking that informs all of that. And what we're trying to say is the thinking is what needs to change. It's not like South Africa doesn't have the infrastructure, doesn't have the resources. All of that is available. What's not there is this higher level of thinking to transmute all of these resources into a physical equivalent that can transform the landscape.
So somehow, and you must define this thinking you talk of, we've got to, I don't know, we've got to trigger it in school, and then tertiary level, and then business. Richard?
Just something, I've just recently returned from a trip to the Far East, and when I was in Hong Kong, I had the opportunity to go to one of the Hong Kong innovation hubs. And what really caught my attention, and we were there visiting a biotech firm in the space of nanotechnology and using capability that, you know, you and I think, you know, well, you know, what's the issue in medical testing? But one of the biggest issues is asking people to have a needle stuck into them, because that somehow seems to put most people off having any sort of test. And nanotechnology has now moved to that level where you can use different types of testing to actually get the results that you need. Now, these guys are on the forefront of nanotech, and we went in to go and visit with a few companies there. And what amazed me, though, was just what I saw when I walked through this innovation hub. First of all, it was an innovation hub, but when I say innovation hub, I'm talking 15 buildings.
Wow.
Okay. So huge investment in infrastructure. Now, I mean, earlier you said we've got all the resources. I don't want to differ with you on this one, but if I compare us with what I saw in Hong Kong, we don't have nothing. You know, they have a documented and, let's call it, implemented strategy where the Hong Kong government actually funds businesses for a period of 3 years on a grant system and then a further 2 years on a kind of a loaning system to actually get these companies off the ground. And they are very successful. They are providing office space. They are providing IT infrastructure. I mean, I must tell you, I met in these offices and I thought to myself, You know, there are top-notch JSE-listed companies who would kill for office space like this. And here, this is on the cards, and for me, it was actually quite clear why they were doing it, because if I looked at the people as I walked around, they really enjoy working in that environment. And I thought to myself, wow, you know, you want to be have an innovation culture, take the people, put them in an environment where they want to be, where they want to work. And I mean, you know, you kind of get this image of the, you know, 20-hour work week, 7 days a week, because they're just having so much fun doing it. Mm. And I looked at this and I thought, sure, these guys have really, they've got the little secret sauce thing going here. Mm. And I looked at this and I thought, sure.
If we
had this type of thing, because I honestly believe that South Africans in particular are extremely innovative. I mean, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. The statement "Die Boer maak 'n plan" came from South Africa. It's a South. I mean, you put a South, and I mean, look at anything in the African context, and globally. I mean, a lot of the world's most innovative solutions have come from this country.
Mm. Alberto, your comments on that? I mean, that's an interesting, you know, experience.
Yeah, no, I think that's very correct. I mean, if you look at countries like Malaysia, they've got the same kind of system, and that's what we're going to be talking about later in terms of skills acculturing program, in which they harvest all these young people who are very good in math, science, engineering, and innovation, and bring them together into this one big lab where everything, you know, they can really have access to infrastructure for them to do all these things. In South Africa, we do have the infrastructure. At TIA, we fund technology stations. These technology stations are located in key universities. CPUT, UCT, we've got one at TUT, we've got universities here, University of Johannesburg, we've got these technology stations. They might not be arranged in a manner that is similar to the Hong Kong model, but you would find that we do have capacity in terms of technical capabilities to execute a lot of these things. And that's the narrative in South Africa, that the infrastructure is there, but there isn't much coordination around how do we optimize all of this.
I was gonna say, so knowing it may be there, but if people don't know how to get to it, well, it may as well not be there.
Yeah, and that's
an issue.
And that's our mandate as the agency, is to make sure that people know about this.
We've got to talk more about that thinking, and then how to, you know, what do we mean by it, and then in the workplace, and you've got programs that are starting to address this, Louis.
Arden, exactly your point about the thinking. Avira, just share with us one can understand, you know, support by government, etc., around it. But we are very interested as leadership consultants regarding the kind of thinking you speak about and how to foster it. How would you define the change in thinking patterns there?
Okay. So what we basically did is that we spent about, you know, 6 to 8 months looking at what is the thinking that needs to be enacted in the country in order to be able to develop innovative leaders, leaders who are agile, leaders who understand the trends, leaders who understand the future enough for them to be making decisions right now that begin to impact people. And we speak of this thing called critical thinking. So if you look at the Malaysians, that's basically the thinking model that they've adopted. And if you look at the success of them being able to reform their public sector, it was predicated on the fact that they said, we need to reinvent how we are approaching public sector service in order for us to see a change in the economic structure. So we look at critical thinking, which basically looks at how do we capacitate individuals to analyze information objectively? And from analyzing it objectively, how then do they create new platforms for them to use, such that those platforms become feeders into solutions to everyday challenges? And we look at higher order thinking skills, where we're saying, go beyond the intelligence frame, go beyond what you already know right now. How do you understand key concepts that you're learning from school, but what is their impact and relevance in changing the society around you? And this is what we're looking at, and this is what we're excited about as an innovation agent, to say, how do we capacitate grade 7 learners to be able to see their world differently, such that by the time they come out of school, they are better positioned to be able to be entrepreneurial? That's the first thing. And secondly, to contribute to transforming the landscape in South Africa, because the narrative at the moment is we're just seeing people who are coming out of school. And we had a meeting with the National Advisory Council on Innovation, where the CEO of Accenture was saying, all these graduates that come through, they basically do not have the skills to cope in a work environment, because the work environment is largely fluid, and they're coming from a static environment in which they are boxed in terms of how they are structured, how they learn. Their learning structure is very linear. So he's looking for people who are more dynamic than that. And we're hoping that with this critical thinking program, we're going to be able to facilitate just learners being able to see things differently, such that at least they can be able to better respond to the ever-changing work environment.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Critical thinking skills, analytical skills. I mean, how are we doing it from education system and then in the workplace? And as you say, our study programs. Are we talking also linear thinking and non-linear thinking? We had someone here also engaging us around that.
Yeah.
The ability to think non-linear rather than linear.
Yeah. So I think it's mainly the premise for all of this is mainly around design thinking, which takes a look at things from an objective perspective to say, how do I make this solution actually work? And what we're basically finding is this, that the design thinking approach is the one that underpins the critical thinking model, because what we've seen in South Africa is that most of the education system is not enabling people to think. It's just enabling you to store information and regurgitate, and then you are smart and everything else. But where is the so what behind what you know? Which is a critical thing that we are seeing, that learners are failing to cope in a highly pressured environment because they do not know the so what about what they already know. So that's what we need to change. And we're hoping that through the use of design thinking that they'll be able to approach this a bit differently.
Okay. So in the workplace, we have an environment that's moving so fast where things are changing as we speak. Mm-hmm. Problems are coming and difficult situations come at managers and leaders and experts at a rapid pace. And they have to learn to think like that on their feet, fast.
100%.
Okay. But now they're not. Mm-hmm. They're thinking, what did I study as an engineer?
Mm-hmm.
And I need to. Is it somewhere in my books? I don't know. I'm simplifying it, but that's what we're finding.
Yep.
So what's going to happen when you have CEOs who were not trained in this way?
And this is one of our programs that we are actually currently enacting. We call it the Future 500 Program.
But what's the Next Generation 100 Program?
Okay, so the next
Is that a precursor to the 500 top?
Okay, so I'll explain it just in terms of the workplace situation.
Tell us about that a bit, yeah.
Yeah, so the Future 500 is mainly around developing innovation leaders who are not only competent in understanding what innovation is, but they are leaders in terms of them being able to understand innovation from a competency and a practical perspective. Because what we're trying to say is this, that we've got to capacitate the future workforce to be able to adapt to this changing world of technology. Because what we're seeing is that there's growing information technological capabilities. Everybody's using advanced material and processes, high levels of automation, shorter lead times, higher output efficiencies, and there's new nodes of communication that are currently being enacted. And what we're saying is we want to be able to train our leaders in this to say, how do you respond from a thinking perspective to this ever-dynamic environment? And that's
where technology plays such a big role.
100%, because what we're saying is the future of the economy is a technology-driven economy.
Okay, what is this Future 500 Top Innovators program then?
Okay.
Tell us a little bit more.
Okay, so the Future 500 is basically identifying the top 500 minds in South Africa who would have gone through our higher order critical thinking skills program, where we test their competency in terms of how they are basically thinking about the work environment.
Are you busy with that now?
We are busy with that.
Finding those 500.
Yes, we have actually, in a sense, kicked off the program last week, 2 weeks back with the minister in Cape Town at the National Science Week. So that was the kickoff of the program. So we are basically hitting the ground running, and we are basically trying to recruit these new top 500 minds in the whole country that can basically transform the landscape as we see it.
Okay, so how do you find them?
We find them
Do they go through the program then?
Yes, so they have to go through the program, and the program basically would have three different levels. So there'll be a level number one, which is more basic. Level number two is an intermediary, and level number three is really for the advanced one. So it would depend on, obviously, your educational training for which level that you go through. But our ambition is that everybody can progress from one level to the next and get everybody to the level three.
Where do you find them? How do you find them? How do you How do you
Well, at the moment, as I said, the program is just being launched, and the structure of our program as we had had it was we wanted to work with the Department of Basic Education and have innovation be a curriculum that is introduced at school level, because we felt that that's the most important thing that needs to happen first. Then from that school level, you basically get examined on it on a year-on-year basis, and from those results do we then identify who the people are, and we progress them across the various levels right until they get to university and right until they leave university and enter into the workplace, such that this is something for continual development. So this is the premise of the program, but as you know, it takes a long time to integrate this, because this is a program that we just launched 2 weeks ago. So it's a bit of a journey for us to get to this place where we can adjust the curriculum to be able to factor this in, such that at least we begin to see a harvest or a pool of people who are basically competent to help the country going forward.
Is the idea to actually name the program innovation, the subject?
Yes, well, it could be that. We obviously have to work within the confines and the parameters set to us by the Department of Basic Education. But it would be a program that's mainly around how do we teach people to be creative? How do we teach people to have collaborative thinking? Because it takes some form of logic for you to be able to hear what somebody's saying and transmute it into an actionable item. And the last thing is, how do we teach someone to be entrepreneurial? That's a key thing, because everybody is so used to, I'm going to go work for somebody else, instead of saying, I'm going to create work for the whole community.
So two or three weeks back, we were having the debate here about what an education is about. And I have a question for you in terms of, do you think you can teach or engage innovation and innovate? I mean, yeah, you can help people understand innovative thinking. Yeah. I understand that. But the reality is that once you've created, let's call it, the environment that allows that to prosper, it is a case of, you know, a little bit like, you know, some people are good at languages and some people are good at maths. Yeah. And please don't ask the mathematicians to write a novel, and don't ask the novelist to design a car People are different skill sets, different capabilities. Yeah. Innovation and let's call it critical thinking is a very different skill in my experience, and not everybody has it. And I think and what I'm hearing from you is this attempt to almost create the capability, and I think it's almost, let's call it, an unrecognized resource in our greater resource pool of South Africa. But I would also be cautious to go, well, now we must all be innovative. You know, it kind of worries me that people go almost, let's call it, down the checkbox route of, you know, now we must all do English, Afrikaans, math, science, this, you know, and it's like, Hold on a second. How do we manage that in that space?
And I think for us, it's mainly around creating the awareness around innovation. It's not really in a sense that you can teach innovation to say, here you go, here's a textbook, go through this, and by the end of this,
you'll be an innovative person.
encouraging and visionary attitude.
100%.
That attitude is tremendous. You tied two words, though, in. You tied a creative with collaborative. Now, that's interesting, because normally creative is seen as a highly individual thing. You tied to collaborative. That, I think, makes sense to me from a leadership point of view. Your thoughts on that?
Yes, because what we found is that for us to have a more robust engagement in terms of this new approach with critical thinking, we found that in South Africa, given our context, given our history, there is a need for more of a cohesive approach in terms of developing solutions, such that we're looking at the good of us collectively than the good of one person. Yeah. And the more we begin to work together as one collective unit, we begin to see much more results, because then that's when synergy is realized.
Yeah, inclusive in that sense.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, but
not,
just to go...
Yeah, not so, political speak, but not real.
Political. Yes. But just to go back to to your point. And again, creativity is not linear. And my creativity, because I did accounting, so you can imagine this is like, what are you doing?
What are you doing here, dude? I mean, attracted to the cause here. I mean,
yeah, and you see, this is the thinking that I find that is limiting this conversation, because we all now have a structured way in which we are saying this innovation must come about. And I'm saying innovation is not linear. Innovation is disruptive in its nature. Innovation will not come from someone who has studied a PhD in electrical engineering. It's not going to come from that. It's going to come from the guy in the street who saw an opportunity in the township to create a better system for refuse disposal. And that solution can be adopted by anybody in the whole world because of its cost effectiveness and its ability to solve the challenge. And that's what we're looking for, and that's what we're looking to create with this program.
So we must keep our eyes on the Future 500 Top Innovators South Africa program. It's a big thing. It's starting. It has started. Hey, I want to be part of that. Can they contact? Can they do something?
Yes, they can log on to our website, www.tia.org.za, and they will find the link for them to participate in the Future 500 program.
Here's a question. What else is required in the development of an, let's say, ecosystem to drive the development of technology in the economy?
I think there are so many different actors in terms of innovation. We've just looked at the recently published National Advisory Council Science and Technology Indicators for 2015. And you basically realize that South Africa has got competencies in developing technologies or innovations around petrochemicals, around financial services, around manufacturing services. And what's basically needed is how do we cohesively work together with the different actors? So you need an effective schooling system. You need, they call it these days in this new language, they call it post-school education and training. That's a new thing that's coming about to say there are intermediary organizations that are involved in all of this. And this is from the research from the Human Science Council's research, and they've got lots of policy statements around how do we make all of that happen together. Then the other thing is looking at companies themselves.
Yeah.
What technologies are they using, and why are they all? Because again, if you look at our JSC companies, all of them generate 60-70% of their revenue from foreign sources, meaning that they get all their technology from outside, which is something that was cited in the science and technology indicators. So it's basically saying, local business, how do you, in a sense, support R&D in South Africa to make sure that all the technologies that they're using for their platforms are homegrown? And that's how we're going to be able to transform the landscape.
Okay. Audie, that's interesting that the way you put it, we think the vision is very, very important. This country has got a new background. You speak of the chemical engineering, yes, but you know, I know this country developed an atomic bomb. Now, what I'm getting at here is now all companies much bigger, they can't do it. You know, we did it without any kind of support. What I'm saying is that's all. We can do these things. And what you're saying is if we have an inclusive attitude, we can do it. This is beautiful. I like it.
Okay, well, we wish you well. That's what we've got time for. And any final message you want to give around this whole theme of what we've been discussing?
Yeah, I think for us as an agency, we just remain very committed to supporting an innovation-driven South Africa. I think we've come up with our new payoff line, which is Innovating Tomorrow Together. And it's all about how do we come together to work together to develop solutions for the country. And we feel that the Future 500 is one of those tools that we can employ to cohesively work together, in a sense, to redress what's happening in the country right now, because things need to change. Our country needs to keep going forward.
Yeah.
And we as an agency are there to support that.
Thank you so much, Alvero Mpofu, Strategic Planning and Risk Management Specialist at the Technology Innovation Agency. All the best. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Adrian.
The transformation platform was brought to you by Cell C Business. Switch your business to Cell C and save with contract buyout. The power is in your hands.
Doing business in the current economic climate can be made tougher by your telecommunications bill. At Cell C Business, we don't only offer a range of voice and data contracts that'll make sense to any CFO. We also offer innovations like contract buyout, exclusive to Cell C Business, which means we'll pay your business up to 20,000 Rand per line when you move to us. So visit cellc.co.za/business and switch to Cell C for great value. Cell C, the power is in your hands. T's and C's apply.
This is CliffCentral.com.